name's Pat. Grateful to be here. Falling in the thing here. Grateful to be here, and gotta blame my sponsor. He's supposed to be doing this. He somehow got sick, called me, asked me to fill in for him. That's what we're really doing, Narcotics Anonymous. You know, we step up to the plate when somebody's down. We help them up. We don't walk by. And I learned that early on in here, and I guess I'm supposed to talk about six and seven, and six. Six is actually a lot of work involved in step six, believe it or not. If you look on your basic text, there's like three or four pages of it. If you go on Works Island Wide, there's seven pages on it work on step six. And step six, the main principle in that is willingness. You know, what are you willing to do? I started thinking back about the first time I did step six and where I was at. And, you know, I had just come off step five, and step four, I wrote down all the stuff, all these, I guess, I didn't know whether they were called defects of character at that point in my life, you know, there's things that I was fucked up doing all the time, and shortcomings, I had a list of them right there, so I was with my sponsor, and he said, it ain't, you just can't say, okay, I want to get rid of them. It's an ongoing process, you know. You become entirely ready. I found out it ain't easy to become entirely ready to get rid of your shortcomings, you know. I don't know why we are like we are. I say I am. My addict holding on to stuff that causes me pain. I'm sure if you look back in your past, you've held on to things that were painful. You don't even know why you held on to them because we're familiar with them. You know, becoming entirely ready to let go of them means I got to keep asking for help. I got to be willing to share with other people. See, I don't even know. My disease is so tricky. Sometimes I don't even know when my defects are showing. So it's real important for me to get with people and let them know me, so that when my defects of character are popping out and I don't see them, they do. And they can tell me about it, because they rear their ugly heads in many different forms. And I get tired of feeling the pain that I feel from hurting other people. You know, and all my defects ain't about hurting other people, they're about hurting me too. You know, some of the stuff that I do that hurts me, because, you know, when it's said and done, I feel guilty. You know, I have that feeling of in my stomach that tells me I'm not doing the right thing. So then again, it goes back to willingness. I wrote a little bit on it. I wrote why I was willing to get rid of them, what I seen that they caused me to do. You know, what pains I caused other people. I wrote a lot on it, on my defects of character. And it helped me sort of identify them, because I wrote a big, my sponsor had me write, and he said, no, I want you to write, because I wrote, like, I had them all on a sheet of paper. It was funny, I wrote this, and I wrote this, he wanted me to write exclusively on what I did, so it was about six, seven pages. But it really helped me to identify with what I really needed to work on. And actually six is still becoming ready. I thought I was ready, and I really wasn't, because then I got angry. As soon as I got angry and something didn't go my way, that defect popped right out again, and you know, I don't care. It's a split second, and I'm there. So then again, I pray again, help me to become ready to get rid of this, let it go. About letting go and letting God, you know, we did that in step three, let go and let God. So, you know, like I said, six is the willingness to continue to pray, continue to try and see your defects when they're popping out, have your friends there, your weed, letting you know when they're popping out and you don't know them, and continuing again to ask for help. That's what I did, I moved on to step seven, and step seven, the main thing in step seven is humility. That's the main ingredient in step seven. That I know my place, that I'm not better than, I'm not less than, I'm equal to. That I'm not unique. You know, that we're all in this together, and then I need help. And it just, I got to continue to pray on that step, because like I said, I might have went 8 months without having these defects pop up, maybe a year, and thinking I was, God took them and I was rid of them, but then as soon as the situation presented itself, guess what? They were there. I just had them stored away for a little bit. I didn't, you know, I was reading a little bit today, this morning, and it says about, which reminded me that I got to continue to ask for help. I've been here since 95, and I still need help. I still have defects that come out differently, you know, and it's about, like, my tongue, you know, I say this all the time, I got to watch what I say. My tongue is my worst weapon. Because I could say something to hurt you, and I don't see the damage that I do because it's on the inside. And I don't know about you, but when I hold stuff inside, it never heals. They told me in Narcotics Anonymous to get it out in the open. That's how it heals. It's just like when you cut yourself and you put the Band-Aid on a scab, you got that scab, you got to take the Band-Aid off and let the sun hit it out in the open, and then it finally goes away. That's the same thing with us inside. You know? So, I got to watch what I say to people. And like I said, still today, I'm a work in progress with that, step seven. You know? What it's enabled me to do was put myself in a position that I know that I belong here, and I know that I'm doing the right thing. And I know that I'm trying to help other people. That's what it's all about for me, helping other people, trying to do the best. It's, you know, six and seven, like I said, there's a lot of pages. On seven, there's like five or six pages, and it works out why. Because actually, the first time I did them, I went through them pretty fast. And I ended up realizing, that's when I realized, like, with 3 or 4 years clean, that I got to do them again. You know? Because I said something to my sponsor, like, when we was on 9 or 10, I said, like, you know, I went through that too fast. He said, well, we're going to do them again when you get done with the first 12. We'll do them again. So, then the second time is when I really actually was self-conscious of everything that was of my shortcomings. And that's when they started coming up where I didn't recognize them, you know. And it was all self-centeredness. And it was all being self-centered about me. I know this, you know, there's no, once you do the steps, you can go back and do them again. And again, if you've been here a while, you've probably been through them couple times. If you haven't, then you're probably here and being a little bit miserable. I don't like being miserable. I don't like hurting other people anymore. You know, I like to have fun and enjoy my life. And when I lay down at night and I look over my day, like a 10th step, I don't have to like add all these people on to my list for making amends and going and correcting the wrongs I've done. Don't get me wrong, we do them and don't even know we do them, but I'm not perfect, but I've gotten a lot better with where I'm at today. You know, when I lay down at night and I look and see what I got to go over, most of the time it's pretty cool, but I didn't hurt anybody, you know, and I was pretty good to myself. That's another thing, too, being good to yourself. If I don't take care of me, who's going to take care of me? The steps are all in here for a reason. The way I was explaining, you start with one. You need one to do two. You need one and two to do three. You need one, two, and three to do four. and it just keeps going. So when you do five, and you go ahead and admit your, you admit to somebody else and the God of your understanding, the stuff you said you'd never say, you're really set up to continue to go on, you know. I've sponsored people that quit on four, never did five, or they did five and they waited so long to try and start on six that they're not here today. I mean, it's really simple. Continue on the steps, continue, you know, you got momentum. You're doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you got momentum going. I don't know about you, but when I made my commitment to go and do step five, that's when I felt like something was lifted off me. So I did five and I was feeling really lighter than I ever felt. So I wanted to continue with six. And like I said, six has got to become entirely ready. Now, what's entirely mean? You know, I got to look that up in a dictionary. I thought I was entirely ready and I really wasn't. But that's okay because I can still go back to it. Now, as long as I don't put one in me, I can continue to go on my journey in recovery. As long as I don't put the first one in me. And I can become entirely ready again and again and again. Like some of the most glaring defects are easy to get rid of. You know, because they're hurting me and they're hurting people I love. But then some of these other defects that I want to hold on to, they're the ones that I got to keep working on. They're the ones that come up with differently. And I don't know that they're there. That's why it's really important. Like I always stress it, to get a home group and to let people know you. So that when you're not yourself and you don't know it, they do. And they'll tell you. So that's what we do, is we tell people, hey, what the fuck's going on with you? You know? I need that, man. Continue with six and seven, I need that. You know? And then you just continue to work through your steps. I don't know, I'm a firm believer in this. Listen, if you want something you never had before, you gotta do some things you never did before. And then you'll get different results. Because I kept doing the same thing, putting something in me. And thinking it was going to change. And for 26 years, it never changed. Might have took a little longer, but the consequences always came. Then somebody, my sponsor, said, why don't you do something you never did before? Because I don't know what, I said, because I don't know what's going to happen. Why not? You know, I didn't have to go through that alone in Narcotics Anonymous. Like, if I'm doing something I never did before, I got my sponsor, and I got my weed there, so I don't have to go through it alone. That fear's there. And through that, I was able to go ahead and work the steps. And work six and seven, you know, because I'm trying to do something I never did before. Quit hurting people, quit hurting myself, become a better person. Let a little spirituality into my life, you know. Be better, a little bit better. I strive to be a little bit better every day than I was yesterday. I just know this, man, I'm in the right place. I'm refusing to use no matter what. And no matter what else comes up, as long as I don't use, I have a chance to work on it. Thanks.
All right, I'm gonna... Hi everyone, I'm Adrian, I'm an addict.
Hi Adrian.
I'm gonna move the sun's right in my eyes. I want to thank the committee for asking me to come and share my experience. How long do I have? I don't know if it'll matter, but what time is it over?
Technically 11:30.
Okay. So when Liz asked me, I thanked her. But my second thought was, wow, these people keep asking me to come to speak. Do they, like, if they really knew who I was, they would never, because I am screwed up, you know? And I'll preface that with saying, you know, on August 1st, I celebrated 17 years clean. And that feeling of, if they knew who I was 17 years clean, they would never ask me for my experience. And I talked to my sponsor about it, and I'm like, you know, they asked me to speak on 6 and 7, and I've always, 6 and 7 has always, I complicate it and I fight it. I make it harder than it has to be, for real. And, but as the weeks have progressed and I've meditated on it and I thought about it, I was like, well, maybe, you know, maybe this is like right where I'm supposed to be for this moment. See, recovery for me has been like this process. Like, this is a normal process for me. I have found out over the years, I go to that automatic, like, that character defect of, you know, self-judgment, you know, lack of faith, you know, whatever, you know, lack of faith in this process, lack of faith in my higher power, you know, and then I go to and I talk to my sponsor, I talk to people in my Wii, and I get to, like, well, maybe a solution. I don't, you know, that for me is 6 and 7 right there. I have a character defect, me and myself, I can't do this alone. I reach out to a higher power and I get to a solution. As I was driving up here, I had a lot of really good stuff going through my head. I was, you know, praying, and I don't know what's going to come out. I was getting kind of emotional. I realized, like, these last 2 years specifically have been hard. I don't even know how else to put it. They've been difficult. And it's only evidence of this program that I'm still here and I'm still standing. And I remember back when I first started working the steps, and I remember going through 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 and, you know, getting to 6. And I remember that once I got through 5 and I wrote down my inventory and I went over it with someone else and I got all that stuff out in the open, I remember how glaring I thought all my defects were at that point. It was like hard to deny that these things in the part they've been playing in my life, my patterns. And I got very overwhelmed because all I could see was all this crap about myself. And I can get into that space very easily still today if I let myself. And I remember fighting the process, wanting to fix myself. 7, you know, letting a higher power and humbly asking a higher power to take these defects from me was hard because I just wanted to fix it. And I remember that feeling. I remember that. And remember, you know, and if I get into that space, like, I can get real focused on everything that I feel like is wrong with me and everything I'm doing wrong. And but when I really look at it, you know, and that, the, you know, the those words, the character defects, they're, those words are kind of daunting to me. But in reality, 6 and 7 is about hope. I remember working forever. I don't even, it feels like a lifetime ago, working those steps the first time and talking to someone. He's like, well, my real freedom came when I hit 6. And I didn't understand that because I thought I was on this cloud when I did 5. Like, I got all rid of all that shit. I felt like all my secrets were out. I was still here. I was still clean. The program offered me this, you know, this promise of freedom. And I, you know, I thought, oh, that, I don't know how can, but over the years, I have found that the true freedom does come in being relieved of my defects and of myself. And so as I've reflected over the last few weeks, and particularly probably in the last week and a half, the words, what has been coming to me has been humanity and humility. And I hope I don't get too emotional because I feel like anymore, like, I've been going through this like clearing. I don't know how else to put it, this clearing, and it does go back to the defects and the spiritual principles. And it's been painful and it's been beautiful, and I cry. I cry a lot right now. So and you know, when I came in here, I had some pretty significant mental health stuff going on. I think a lot of us do. You know, I've wrestled with that throughout my recovery and have worked on, you know, being a healthy person, physically, mentally, spiritually. And when COVID hit, and we went into isolation, you know, we had Zoom and it was great. My home group's on Zoom now. I don't even know how that works. She asked me what area I'm in. I had no idea. I don't even know how that works. I live in the Wee area. I was very active in the Wee area for a long time with service, and service is super important. And I still value service. I still try to serve wherever I can, in and out of the rooms. But when COVID hit and we went into isolation, and I'm a student now, I went back to school 2 years ago, and I felt like I needed a change and a new direction in my life, and I was working, and you know, when COVID hit, you know, a lot of that kind of fell apart a little bit. And so I was like stuck in a room. I was stuck in a room in front of a computer, by myself, going to these meetings, and adding to that, you know, my mother is in a nursing home and I was separated from her. I couldn't see her for over a year. You know, she got COVID in the nursing home, and that I found out a lot of my defects in dealing with, you know, coming up still with dealing with family. You know, I find that becoming entirely ready for me isn't always the case. And even especially after all this time, I feel like I can get complacent. And I feel like I'm doing okay. My life's okay. I'm not using. I don't want to use, you know. But that doesn't mean like my defects don't still cause me pain when I'm acting out on them. And that in itself, that pain, and to the level where my defects can take me, that isolation, you know, the physical isolation, you know, with all that going on, and I got COVID and I got sick, and just that series of events, you know, life happened. We were all going through it, you know, collectively and individually. And I only say this because I can't like downplay the significance of where I'm at today. My mother got COVID and I couldn't be there with her. Family, you know, we were button head what we thought was the right thing to do, and you know, I'm fighting these character defects, and as COVID hit and my, you know, anxiety disorder, my depression was rearing its head, and my character defects, and I was isolating, I was trying to do all this fucking alone, you know, and I was getting more and more miserable, and with a good bit of time clean, you know, and then, you know, after my mother got COVID, you know, this, it was a few months, and then she almost died. Like, she survived COVID, and then like she like went into a coma, and then it was just like this, you know, I was struggling to get through just to keep, you know, my mental health, recovery, not use, and my wife, my relationship, trying not to get a divorce, you know, like trying to go through all this shit alone. And not that the isolation was all my fault, we were all just kind of forced into it, but the more, you know, I find like the more I do it, the more I want to do it. And the harder it is, the longer I stay stuck in that, the harder it is for me to pull out of that. And so the importance of, you know, staying connected is still so important after all these years. And I don't need to pick up a drug to be spiritually sick and in pain, you know. 1 through 5, you know, like 1 through 3, you know, 5 and 6 is like, or 6 and 7 is like a deepening of, you know, that commitment I made in 3. Like, I found as I worked through the steps, everything is, they're all just like an extension of, you know, it's kind of what Pat said. They're just kind of an extension of a step I've already worked. It's just like a going deeper, doing more work, getting to the exact nature. And over time, like, and all that stuff that I had on that original list, it still applies today. But like, as time has, you know, gone and I have gone through this and worked through the steps with my sponsor, you know, more has been revealed. When they say more will be real, that is the truth. And sometimes it's just like, you need to get back to basics because you're still like, you're still human and you still have defects. And when I say all this, you know, I got through all that and I was isolating and it was killing me. And I knew what I needed to do, and it felt like that was the hardest thing for me to do. And it was so simple. It was just like, be honest and reach out and tell somebody what's going on. Because I'm going to die one way or another. I'm either going to use, or I'm going to make myself so sick that I'm going to die anyway. And, you know, in these times, I had to be creative because, like, the old ways, like, that I was taught when I came in couldn't do necessarily. I couldn't just, like, leave my house and go to a meeting. I couldn't, like, go hug someone. You know, all that stuff was a hard process going through like that. And I know it was hard for everyone. I would not have wanted to get clean when all that hit. But, like, being around for a while and being used to being able to go and hug someone, working through all that, you know, learning how to reconnect. And so I reached out and I had to recommit myself to this process and not like try to struggle through it alone and try to fix it by myself, because 7 implies that I humbly ask him to remove these things. I can't do it by myself. I proved that to myself time and time again. Even when I have my best intentions, I don't even see that I'm acting out. And sometimes, just like Pat said, I need people. And so like I, you know, am working with my sponsor, and when I, part of the reason why the humanity of these steps is so important to me and the humility is because when I saw all of those defects in the way, and I still at times look at the defects in the way they're working in my life and how they're affecting me and how they're hurting myself and others, I just, you know, want to like go into that, you know, hopelessness, I guess. I don't know. Maybe not hopelessness, but that self-judgment and that overwhelmed. And you know, my sponsor and I, through this process, and I have learned with working through her that like my defects, oh, and self-acceptance, I guess that's the lack of self-acceptance, because self-acceptance, you know, is accepting my defects along with my assets. Accept them so I can do something about them. If I'm not accepting of those parts of myself too, there can't be any change, because I'm just perpetuating them. So getting to that point of like self-acceptance and, you know, talking with my sponsor through the years, and this has been a long process. If you're new, like stick around. It never gets old. It really doesn't. A lot of the reason why I have such a hard time giving those things up is because they help me survive for so long. Even before I started using, that's how I survived. And she taught me how to honor them. you know, when a defect comes up for me, and this might not be, I mean, this is what works for me, I don't know. I thank them for bringing me to this point and helping me survive. And I tell them that my higher power loves me now and has got me. And I hope that makes sense. I don't know. Because ultimately that's what seven's about. Like six, you know, I become entirely ready. Yeah, I'm not always entirely ready. Sometimes I still think I need these to survive. You know, I want to take back the control. Sometimes it's a defect by defect basis for me. And I'm going to work on this one right now. Sometimes it's, I'm willing to give them all up because I see that they are wrecking my life in one way or another. They're causing all kinds of damage. And, you know, I try to honor those things, about those parts of me today, and come from them from a place of love. Because ultimately, like, my higher power, I don't name it anymore. I don't try to name it anymore. But if I had to, it would be called love. All of it goes back to love for me. And so I try to think about, like, what ways my higher power, my sponsor, my we, y'all love me. This program has loved me to this point. And, you know, I say all that from a place of, like, vulnerability right now. I realize, like, through the last year and a half, like, sometimes, like, it's... I've been grieving through a lot of things, and it's been really, really painful. And sometimes it's grieving my character defects, because they helped me survive. And, you know, my mother today, she's still with me. She's doing well right now for her. I've been able to see her, to visit her. And I'm praying to God that they don't close that down again. Keep me away from her. You know, I still will address those character defects with my family and my relationships, you know, as they come. And I'm just going to give myself a break today, because I don't have to fix it all. I don't have to have all the answers. I just need to keep coming back and just, like, do the next right thing. Do the right thing. I recently, had a lot of, financial instability lately. You know, I'm still in school, trying to get through school, work and all kinds of stuff. And, like, that's been pretty scary. And, you know, just trying not to, like, go back to, like, addict behaviors to try to deal with that stuff, you know, and have faith, you know. I talked to my sponsor about that again, and I said, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I still struggle with my faith, and she's like, just keep doing it. Just keep doing it even when you don't feel it. And, you know, I'm so emotionally driven. Like, I'm an addict still. I still have my addictive tendencies, and I'm so emotionally driven. And, like, sometimes I, like, confuse, like, spiritual principles with feelings, and they're not. They're actions. Six is about willingness. Seven's about, like, faith and action. So just keep doing it, even though I don't feel it, and, like, until I do again. And all that being said, I hope that wasn't all, like, terribly, like, downer, but I have hope today, because, like, even though I can still see all these things, like, oh my God, look how far I have to go, like, I can see how far I've come, because when I came here, I would have never thought, like, I could even deal with a situation like my mother potentially dying, or going back to school, or, you know, taking the steps forward that I've been taking, and still be clean, still be alive, still, like, be relatively sane. You know, and I gotta check in. I just gotta check in. I gotta show up and check in with my higher power with my Wii, and that, you know, they helped me through that. So I don't really know what else to say. I think that's all I have. Thank you all for being here and for listening. That's all I have. Thanks.
I would like to thank Pat, Al, and Adrian O. for sharing their experience, strength, and hope.